Yesterday, I went to the leaders' meeting, and the Lord gave me a word. And sometimes, you know, when you give a word, the darkness doesn't really like it. And there was a prayer that came through. And I think what it did is it kind of shook up the darkness. And I had a little bit of a job that I did this week, and my back irritated it a little bit, so I had already told Irene I'm going to go to get a little bit of heat and do some exercises and maybe even go to the pool. So I did that yesterday afternoon. I went to the gym and did what I needed to do. When I got home, I picked the raspberries in the garden, and then I decided, well, I'm going to do a little bit more because the shrubs needed to be trimmed and the rose bush was overgrown. So I did that and trimmed a couple of bushes, and all of a sudden I felt this incredible pain in my back, and it was very uncomfortable. And I would say I probably woke up every 20 minutes during the night. I finally got up at 5 o'clock because I couldn't continue with the pain. And it's been ongoing until the Lord told me to lay down. And it took some, let's say, choices to continue to go forward. And to press in, to stand up, and to obey, and trusting that he would complete the work. I can tell you that there's been some anti-inflammatories that have gone in. I had to take those before I went to bed. I took Holy Communion last night because I knew I had irritated the darkness, and I knew that it was quite uncomfortable. And I appreciate the Lord doing what he did, because when I did get up, because when I laid down, I said, Lord, how am I going to get back up? Because, and he told me to trust him, and he did. And when it came time to get up, there was a great relief. It was no longer what it was. But at 4:50 this morning, he took me to John chapter 17. And this is what I cried out: Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son. Does your Son may glorify you? Verse 15 says, my prayer is not that you take me out of the world, but that you protect us from the evil one. And I reminded him that we are not of the world, even though we are living in it. And then he hit me with this: sanctify them by the truth. And as you sent me into the world, he has also sent us into the world, that we too may be sanctified. Now I'll quit my notes and take you to the Word, because that's where he took me this morning. John chapter 17, especially verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Verse 19. I sanctify them that they too may be truly sanctified. And when the conversations kept on going about what God is doing in us and through us, All I kept hearing is that word, sanctification. Now, when you and I are related to the Father, He took His Son to multiples of places. But one of the verses that He confirmed to me was in 1 Peter chapter 1. So if you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world. Notice it says strangers in the world. Why is he pressing in that we are strangers in the world?
Because we're not of the world.
No, but we want to react like the world sometimes because we get caught into the old patterns. And that's part of what we are, challenged. When you and I are strangers in the world, and he points out, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. And here again, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. But I stress the fact, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience. So all the conversation we've had this morning about looking at our circumstances and how ugly they can be, how quickly we flow and slide back down.
Why is that? Why don't we go so fast the other way? I don't get it.
It's Adam in us that's still looking for control,
right, but
and satisfaction.
A lot of us here have been with the Lord for a long time.
Tell me about it.
Why do we still go so...
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer
so
to that one.
For me.
Well, you're not alone.
Oh, it's like, Lord, why am I doing this again?
Yeah, it's because undoubtedly he's taking us around that mountain one more time.
God, I don't want to do it.
Okay, and we need to go around it one more time because he's not going to let us off the hook until we have been formed in the image of
Christ.
Yeah. And so, did you notice how stubborn we can be?
You think?
No kidding. And how many know that we see the stubbornness when it shows up?
Yes.
Put your hand up so that you don't feel alone. See, the biggest issue of Christianity is the accuser says, you're the only one that's like this. Everybody else has got it made. Amen? And by the way, keep praying for Marianne. I saw her yesterday in the Spirit. And things are changing.
Amen. She was attacked by something else again.
Huh?
She was attacked by something else again this week. So.
Well, yeah. I saw her yesterday, loud and clear. I mean, just right smack in front of me. And I said, Lord, and he began to, tell me to intercede that there was a need. Now, I don't know the details, but I know I saw her loud and clear. So again, look at the reality of the sanctification work of the Spirit. And that, you know, gives me hope because if he sanctified every single one of us, and it was a finished work, we'd be ready to cross over now. But he's not giving up on us. He knows the weaknesses we have in us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:30 also says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. It is because of Jesus. Amen? That you have become wisdom from God. That is our righteous wisdom from God. Righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Ephesians 5:26 says, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purpose, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Notice again, if any man cleanses himself from the latter, what is he cleansing himself from? From his carnal reality, his carnal actions and reactions. How do we cleanse ourselves? By claiming what God has already prepared for us. And see, the mindset, which is what we discussed earlier, the mindset about how we have these expectations. I can remember when the Holy Spirit started to deal with me about expectations. I had expectations of certain things and certain people, and especially of myself. And boy, was I disappointed in number one. Because number one wasn't acting and reacting like he should. Or she should. And I had to give those up. You know, when you say to the Lord, I give up my expectations of so and so, that's pretty easy. Because it's the other guy. But when you now turn it around and say, I'm giving up my expectations of myself, where's your control room then? You're his. Are we really his workmanship? Created in the likeness of? That's what we will become. But we don't see the fruit of it just, you know, at that time. And I remember Gail a few weeks ago said, Kim, I said, it was a horrible day. She had a hard time. I said, well, know that these are things that happen to us. And if we're being prepared, then if he doesn't prepare us, how are we going to take care of those that he brings to the next seat next to you? How are we going to be any kind of a hope to them? How can he fill this house if these are not ready? He's working on you and me. Isn't he? And we've said, yes, Lord. And sometimes the emotions don't match. The emotions are just not there. They don't match what we would like to see yet. Hebrews 13:12. Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Try it on for size. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Suffered outside the city gate.
Suffered outside the city gate.
To make the people holy.
To make the people holy.
Through his own blood.
Through his own blood.
That was what he did for me.
That's what he did for me.
Am I willing to do what I need to do?
Am I willing to do what I need to do?
So that others can come into the kingdom. That's what this army is all about. It's a salvation army.
The salvation army.
Amen?
Kim?
Yes?
Excuse me. Exactly what are the emotions for them?
Thank you, Darlene.
The emotions were designed by God without a selfish purpose.
What do you mean?
Think about it now. When Adam and Eve had everything that they needed, the weak part of Eve and Adam was, would you like to be like God? If you eat from this tree, you will be like God. So he was playing on the emotions. And they bowed. And in the reality, you know, emotions are good because when the joy of the Lord hits you, you know he's hitting your emotions as well. I used to say, why did you give them to us? You know, because they seem to be all screwed up. Excuse the expression, but I can't describe it any other way. All right? And he said, you're not understanding that your emotions came through the Adamic nature. and they're flawed.
How does God use them?
How about Jesus when he, huh?
I'm not getting it.
You're not getting it. Okay. These emotions were designed by God to work like they did in our Savior. Okay? When our Savior saw the brokenness in Mary and Martha, when they announced that, well, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't be dead. Do you think for one moment that if his emotions came to that height where he began to weep, that it wasn't intended of God to have us have emotions? If he wept over Jerusalem because they did not foresee the time of his visitation where they could have had a complete transformation, but they didn't catch it. They couldn't catch it. But you see, our Savior cried over those two things because they were important to him, but they didn't manifest at that time. That doesn't mean they won't down the road. And yet, there was plan B, because he not only wept, but then he went over and said, move the stone away, activating their faith. Let's face it. It took a lot of courage for this girl to say, okay, go ahead and move the stone, because we know it already smells. He's been dead 4 days. Now, did Jesus have emotions? Yes, he did. Why didn't he cry? Because you're not supposed to. Okay? You're supposed to. It's not supposed to be make-believe. It's very real. Yesterday was the 4th anniversary of my mother going home. And you know, at 7 o'clock, I just, Lord, could we reconnect a little bit? You know, it would be nice. Why did he put those emotions in us? So that we would be able to have the height of the joy of that new challenge that's going to come when we are united in resurrection. Because that will happen. Would you want to be dead like a stone when your family gets resurrected? Or will you be full of joy and happiness and something indescribable takes place? Yeah, but it's not easy to give them back to him.
I'm saying when it happens,
yeah,
and we feel ourselves losing it, just yeah, like, Lord, take over my emotions right now, whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the tears or whether it's the overwhelming joy. Because right. Sometimes I've been afraid to have joy because, my God, it's going to get robbed again.
Yeah.
But that's the control issue. Right. All right? I want to be in control of me. And he says, will you give yourself to me? Well, how much of me do you want? The whole package. He wants the whole package. Does that help? See, part of that sanctification is letting go. And levels of letting go. Levels. That's probably what that letter means.
Yeah, I did get level. I mean, I did get that impression.
Mm-hmm.
But it just,
you know, it's
yeah,
going to depend on how high we want to obey. How much will we give up of our desires and our wants?
I know the other day with my son, we have a problem, me and him.
Yeah.
And he was starting again on me, and I started to respond, and then I, Lord help me, because I'm just going to keep on going.
Yes.
I'm going to keep on going.
The argument's going to continue. He did.
And then he stopped.
Good.
Yeah.
So crying out is definitely part of it. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, whoever had the vision, there's something that's been spoken now, I don't remember, but whoever had the vision about the shoes, maybe it was Mary Jo.
Shoes.
Shoes.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think you said in the shape of a pyramid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Things, the ladder on there, if you're talking about levels, and the ladder is leaned against that pyramid, and the shoes represent your walk, it's kind of like maybe we're just coming right to the top,
mm-hmm.
as far as we can go in
yeah.
ourselves,
yeah.
and now there's another level beyond that.
Yes.
So the shoes are left there,
yeah.
maybe in Egypt, so to
yeah.
speak, and then
Well, that's part of the crossing of the Red Sea,
yeah,
too.
Exactly, because it's Egyptian. It's something. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So I believe God is definitely saying, I'm doing something with you.
Mm-hmm.
Be at peace. You know, trust me. And trusting is not exactly a comfortable thing. But the sanctification was what he was trying so hard to get to me to understand. It's a process. It's a process. When we let go, he comes in and takes over. When we stay in the control room, he can't operate because we're still got the wheel. You know?
Whatever.
But it's definitely a work he's being. He's being and doing in us something awesome.
Christians, we're not doormats. You know, it's good to be.
It's difficult. It's
yes.
impossible. It's just difficult to, maybe because we're trying to think it out, and this part isn't
yeah.
what's going to get it. This is.
It's the spirit within us that's mm-hmm. going to be able to begin
yeah.
the control room, because you look at the word, all right, and you look at the examples of the Lord. Here he is, full of emotions, with Mary and Martha. Jesus cries out to Lazarus. He comes out of the grave. There's an incredible joy. Okay? Then the next level comes. Well, the Jews are so angry, they plan to not only crucify Jesus, but to kill Lazarus because he's part of the evidence. So from a joyful place, now you see murder being planned for the ones that are doing righteous things before the Father. Ugly. And then the Lord lets himself be caught. And then Peter blows it. And they all run in the opposite direction. So you see, I believe he wrote all that to give us courage. If he wrote how perfect everybody was, there would be no hope for us. Now, how many would like to trade their name in and say, I'll become Peter tomorrow? Well, you love the moment when he gets the high of, yes, you're the Son of God. And the Lord responds right away, yes, only my Father could have shown you this. And then he opens his mouth again, and the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, now, talk about another slap in the face. Right? So you don't want to be Peter, but there's Peter and all of us.